إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، من يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، قال الشيخ الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد: باب الخوف من الشرك، وقول الله عز وجل: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. وقال الخليل عليه السلام في سورة إبراهيم: واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام. شيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى in his book كتاب التوحيد chapter number 4 fear of shirk polytheism, and he mentioned two ayats and three ahadith in this bab. As for the ayat, is this ayah in Surah An-Nisa is repeated in two places, ayah number 48 and the ayah 116. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Verily Allah forgives not that partners should be set up with him in worship. Allah does not forgive this, but he subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives anything else but that to whom he wills and he pleases with. And also in Surah Ibrahim chapter 14 ayah 35, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with Ibrahim, this is a statement of the Khalil of Allah Ibrahim alayhi salam, who says, وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. This is a supplication, and keep me and my sons and my offsprings away from worshipping idols. الشرح لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد صالح الفوزان بن فوزان حفظه الله من الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد. As we still reading after Fajr on Saturday here at Masjid al-Tawheed in Stone Mountain, Georgia, the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed from the concise explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan Hafidhahullah. No.
The point for the hadith before, I know you say that we are read the ayah, but we didn't do the point in chapter 3.
Now we finished. لا انتهينا من ذلك. نعم، أليس كذلك أخوان؟
إيه.
نعم، we did the benefits as well. 23 benefits. We've done that on the 19th of ربيع الأول, on the 11th of February. هذه ما شاء الله. الحمد لله. وبالعلم يحفظ الكتاب، ها؟ بالكتاب يحفظ العلم. طيب، جزاك الله. الحمد لله. The brother he was just asking about did we finish from the last chapter. I said نعم الحمد لله. You agree with me, right? طيب، جزاكم الله خير. It's marked with me الحمد لله. In the end of every chapter I write that where we stopped with the dates. Jazakallah khair. So, as usual, like I said, every Saturday after Fajr here at Masjid Tawheed, we read the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed from this book, Al-Mulakhas, Fi Sharhi Kitab al-Tawheed, بيور بالله الشيخ الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. مناسبة الباب لكتاب التوحيد. The first, the Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى, he bring the relevance of this chapter to كتاب التوحيد. قال أن المصنف رحمه الله تعالى لما ذكر التوحيد وفضله وتحقيقه ناسب أن يذكر الخوف من ضده وهو الشرك ليحذره المؤمن ويخافه على نفسه. He says the Musannif here is Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab الذي صنف هذا الكتاب. But sometimes you hear these synonyms: al-Musannif, al-Muallif, al-Katib, meaning the author of the book. Here he's talking about Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. He says that the Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, when he mentioned the Tawheed, because the first chapter was about the Tawheed, what is Tawheed, then he mentioned after that the chapter that shows the superiority and the virtue of Tawheed. And then he followed with the third chapter, من حقق التوحيد دخل الجنة بغير حساب ولا عذاب. If you remember. Then in the third chapter, the one that just passed, he mentioned the fruits and the results of those who fulfill the Tawheed and complete the Tawheed. And that for such people, they will enter al-Jannah without reckoning and without punishments. سَعُوا اللَّهَ نِجْعَلَنَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْهُمْ. Ask Allah to make us and you from them. Ameen. He says, so therefore, after he mentioned these chapters about Tawheed, its virtue and superiority, and what the people get when they achieve the Tawheed completely and correctly, he says it is conducive at this moment to mention in this chapter that which the people should be afraid of, meaning the opposite of Tawheed, which is shirk. The Shaykh, he said, and he brought this chapter so that the person, after knowing the Tawheed, acting upon it, know its virtue, because when you know the virtue of something, you hold on to it. When you know how valuable something, you don't let it go easy. Do we let go our money easy? Huh? Like you let go that empty bottle of water. What do you do with the empty bottle of water?
Throw it away.
You recycle it, right? In most cases. Alright, but you throw away, you get rid of it. Do you hold on to it in your pocket? Why? Why you don't hold on to it, Abdullah?
It doesn't have any value.
Not value to you. Some other people, when they gather all of them, they may have value. But to you, it have no value. To me, why? Why am I going to hold on to an empty bottle of water? So you pay check, what do you do with it?
Preserve it.
Ahsan. What pocket you put it in? You know what pocket, right? You got specific pocket for your money, right or wrong? What about the jewelry in the house? Especially if some jewelry have some values. Did they be sitting on a corner, on the top in the kitchen?
No.
Now they be in somewhere in the house. Maybe even the closest people to you don't know where they at. Preserve it. Likewise, the Shaykh says, he mentioning this so that we can preserve the Tawheed by being cautious against its opposite, the shirk, ya akhwan. And you be afraid, he said, that the believer should be warned against the Tawheed, the shirk, and should be afraid of it. You gotta be afraid of shirk. And then the Shaykh mentioned some of the explanation of some words in his al-khawf. What is khawf? هو توقع مكروه وهو ضد الأمن. Khawf usually is related to something that you dislike, something you don't want it to happen, and you be afraid it may happen to you. Okay? And it is the opposite of amn, security. الشرك ما الشرك We mentioned this before. What is shirk? What is the definition of shirk, ya akhwan? This is not a test, by the way. هذه مذاكرة. I leave the test for Khalifa, inshallah. He does good with the test. الشرك, نعم. نعم, that's part of it. نعم, حسن.
Associating anything with Allah and worship or worshiping something besides Him.
أي نعم.
Putting something in an improper place.
That's dhulm. Which is, shirk is the greatest of dhulm. That's the definition of dhulm. Oppression. نعم.
Association.
That's literally in the language. So that's the definition of linguistically. طيب, in Arabic, الشرك صرف شيء من العبادة لغير الله أو كلها. الشرك هو صرف شيء من العبادة لغير الله. Shirk is to devote some acts of worship for Allah, for other than Allah, actually, for other than Allah. That's shirk. And the ibadah حق محض لله سبحانه وتعالى. Worship, it is for Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahab himself, in another of his books, ثلاثة أصول, and he mentioned the statements of Ibn Kathir رحمه الله. He says, والخالق لهذه الأشياء كلها هو المستحق للعبادة. When he mentioned different types of creation, the moon, the sun, the mountains, the heavens, the earth, and all that, and Ibn Kathir رحمه الله says, the creator of all of these things, he alone deserves to be worshipped. So when a person devout or perform an act of worship, or some of them, for other than Allah, then that's shirk. So he's associating others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a right that it is exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال في الآية لا يغفر أن يشرك به. In the verse in Surah An-Nisa, he says that Allah does not forgive that partners are set up with him in worship. What that mean? أي لا يعفو عن عبد لقيه وهو يعبد غيره. It means that Allah does not forgive a servant who meet Allah on يوم القيامة upon shirk, worshipping other than Allah. So this is on يوم القيامة, a person die upon shirk. As for someone who is upon shirk والعياذ بالله, but in this dunya, Allah يعني وفقه الله للتوبة والحمد لله. But Allah has made that person successful and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become Muslim, alhamdulillah, upon tawheed. And as you know, you may know some people like that. They used to believe in Jesus being the Lord or the like and this and that. But Allah, now they worship Allah. Alhamdulillah, hani'an lahum. Wa thabbatana Allah wa iyyahum ala tawheed. We congratulate them and we make dua. We ask Allah for them and for us and them firmness upon Tawheed. لمن يشاء أي لمن يشاء المغفرة له من عباده حسب فضله وحكمته. And then in the same ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. لمن يشاء. What this لمن يشاء in Arabic like, what would that mean? لمن يشاء,
From whom he wills.
From whom, for whom he wills. For or from?
For.
أحسن. نعم عبد الرحيم. طيب ما شاء الله. لمن يشاء, for whom he wills, in the end of the ayah, what he says, أي لمن يشاء المغفرة له من عباده حسب فضله وحكمته. Meaning, Allah forgive anything else less than shirk. Allah does not forgive shirk on يوم القيامة. Somebody meet Allah with shirk, Allah doesn't forgive that. But anything else less than that shirk. Allah forgive that to whom He wills or pleases. He's the Shaykh Fawzan says, for those that Allah wants to forgive them from His servants according to His bounty, the bounty of Allah. That's a bounty of Allah upon such people. Allahu Akbar. And that's His, and according to His hikmah, to His wisdom. And also Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he explained a term here when he says, وَقَالَ الْخَلِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, meaning Ibrahim. And the Khalil of Allah, the Khalil said, what is the Khalil? Because usually they translate as what? The close friend. That's not accurate translation actually. Doesn't give you the real meanings as you should know it in Arabic. That's why the Shaykh Hafidhahullah, he gave us what is mean al-Khalil. Al-Khalilu الَّذِي بَلَغَ أَعْلَى دَرَجَاتِ الْمَحَبَّةِ. The Khalil is the one who attained the highest grades and levels of love. That's Khalil. You have friends and close friends, but how many of them are Khalil? How many of them they have reached that high level of and grade of love? That's Khalil. وَالْمُرَادُ بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ الَّذِي اتَّخَذَهُ اللَّهُ خَلِيلًا. And what is intended here is Ibrahim عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, whom Allah has taken as a Khalil. قَالَ اجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ, keep me away and my offspring, اجْعَلْنِي وَإِيَّاهُمْ فِي جَانِبٍ وَحَيْزٍ بَعِنْ ذَلِكَ. Ibrahim عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ is invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep him and his sons away from shirk. And he is a prophet and a messenger and a khalil of Allah, and making this dua. Do we make this dua constantly? Rabbi jnubni wa baniya an na'bud al asnam. Especially we are surrounded by them, by fitan and temptation and shirk. Sometimes there is three churches in the same corner. I'm not going to say same zip code. Maybe in a zip code there is more than that. Al-Asnam, what is Asnam? What is Asnam? First of all, is this hadha mufrad jam' Asnam? First of all, is this a plural, singular? Jam' plural, jam' mal mufrad? What is the singular? Sanam. Sanam. Sanamun, Saad, Noon, Meem. Get some little bit Arabic, vocabulary, inshallah. So Asnam is a plural, Jam'a. Jam'a is a plural. Right, Ayyub? Wa mufraduha Sanam. So hiya Jam'u Sanam. Wa ma huwa Sanam? What is Sanam? Idol. And what is idol? What is idol definition? Sanam. فسرت الماء بالماء. طيب, جزاك الله خير. What is sanam? قال هو ما كان منحوتا على صورة البشر أو على صورة أي حيوان. A sanam, it's like a statue. It is anything that is sculptured, carved, graved, in the form of a human being or an animal. Those are statues. After this, the Shaykh, he brings Hafidahullah, المعنى الإجمالي للآية. المعنى الإجمالي للآية الأولى. كم من آية عبد الله, كم من آية محمد, كم من آية, how many verses? في سورة سورة إبراهيم أن هو كذلك
هذا حق
حق واضح ولا هو حق. That's true, but is it clear? Should it be the other way around?
لا
Nisa and Sota Ibrahim.
Hey, Nisa and Ibrahim. Not Ibrahim and Nisa. Ah, inshallah. Well, the Shaykh has started with what surah? What ayah? Ayah in Surah Al-Nisa. Ahsan. طيب. I know it's a little bit early. Somebody may be sleepy like myself, but alhamdulillah, I'm speaking. That's what keeps me up. But I don't want you to sleep. Inshallah. Right? Jazakum Allah khair. So you can get some benefit. But if you get tired, you let me know. I keep going, inshallah. المعنى الإجمالي للآية الأولى. Now the Shaykh is going to give us the general meaning of the first verse. إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. قال أن الله سبحانه يخبر خبرا مؤكدا أنه لا يغفر لعبد لقيه وهو مشرك به لِيُحَذِّرَنَا مِنَ الشِّرْكِ. Sheikh Saleh Hafizahullah, he says, in this ayah Allah informs us, and this information is emphasized, alright, is emphasized, that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not forgive a servant who met Him while associating partners with Him in worship. So that by this Allah is warning us against shirk. This ayah warns us, and Allah warns His servants against polytheism and against shirk, associating partners with Him in worship or performing any acts of worship for other than Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأنه يغفر ما دون ذلك ما دون الشرك من الذنوب لمن يشاء أن يغفر له تفضلا وإحسانا لألا نقنط من رحمة الله. Also in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that He subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive anything else less than shirk from sins, من الذنوب. الذنوب مفردها ذنب. ذنوب also, this is جمع, this is plural. The singular is ذنب. Thal Noon Ba. So also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in the same ayah that He forgives anything else less than shirk from sins to whom He pleases to forgive him out of His bounty, out of Allah's bounty, and out of kindness, ihsan, being kind, so that we may not despair from the mercy of Allah. Now look, now this is a clear refutation also against the Khawarij. The Khawarij, they make the people despair from the mercy of Allah. Any sin, he's out. Kafir, hellfire. Those who follow their madhab, they despair. He's, in this dunya, he's like, man, he knows, he's like, man, I'm in a hellfire. Yadubillah. But those who understand the correct manhaj, they're like, listen, alhamdulillah, as long as I'm not upon this shirk, yes, why, if somebody is doing something, he has to take that seriously. Don't just say, well, he's not shirk, it's okay. No, it's not. Okay? خطر الذنوب عظيم. The sins have a great danger. الذنوب تهلك البر والعياذ بالله, can destroy a person. Person may be ruined والعياذ بالله because of the sins. How many marriages and households been doomed and ruined because of sins? Now, relationship. So it's very important for us to remember that. والمعنى الإجمالي للآية الثانية. الآية الثانية. The second verse now. Sheikh is, and we're going to read to you the general meaning. أن إبراهيم الخليل عليه الصلاة والسلام يدعو ربه عز وجل أن يجعله هو وبنيه في جانب بعيد عن عبادة الأصنام وأن يباعد بينه وبينها لأن الفتنة بها عظيمة ولا يأمن الوقوع فيها. Says in the general meaning of the second verse, در ابراهیم الخلیل علیه الصلاة والسلام invokes his Lord عز و جل, make this dua, this serious dua, to make him and his sons and his offspring away, far away from worshipping idols. SubhanAllah. Far away from worshipping idols. And that to make a big distance between him, between them and between these idols. The Shaykh says, لَأَنَّ الْفِتْنَةَ بِهَا عَظِيمَةً وَلَا يَأْمَنُ الْوُقُوعَ فِيهَا. Because this is a great trial. Shirk, sanam, idols is a great trial. And that a person is not safe, may fall into that. Especially, that's why a person upon Tawheed has to protect his heart and shouldn't be hanging with the mushrikeen, associate with them. And especially, that's why you see that we are prohibited to be with them in the places of their worship, in their celebrations, because the person is weak. And it's amazing, I was reading the book by Shaykh Fawzan himself, Hafidhahullah, and he was mentioning, refuting the Christians. And he says, SubhanAllah, man, these people, it doesn't make no sense what they're doing. And he says, they're worshipping the cross. Alright? He says, they're celebrating the cross. Oh yeah, because the Shaykh, I remember right now, because there was a fatwa, one of the recent fatwa of Shaykh Fawzan. I heard it on sahab.net 2-3 days ago. Thursday, maybe on Wednesday. The Shaykh was asked about the salib, the cross. So the Shaykh, a lot of people, they say anything that is like this, what do you call this?
A cross.
Some people say, that's a cross, you gotta get it out of your house, get it out of your car, get it out of your packer bag, and this and that. They ask him, they said, Ya Shaykh, anything that, like a line like this and that cross the other, that's considered a cross, that we should be aware of and should be in our homes, in whatever. The Shaykh, he says, not everything that, like that, should be taken as a cross, unless it is deemed to be a cross by those people who they know what the cross is. Okay? Because if people are going to come, they be talking about like anything, man, like two bricks, one here, it's a cross, we're going to get the wall out of here? Alright? So people, for example, making what they call it, exercise, and he go like this. Okay, don't do that. Cross. All right. Astaghfirullah. Put your hands down. The Shaykh says, "Listen, it's not like that. The crosses that are taken by the Christians, they are known. Just need ask somebody who knows them, and he will tell you." And Alhamdulillah, one of the students of knowledge, I don't know where he get that. I don't think I have it in here. I didn't want to have it in my pocket, but yeah, maybe it's in here. Allahu a'lam. Oh yeah, it's in here. Alhamdulillah, I want to show it to you. One of the students, he, I don't know where he downloaded this from, but he says these are like the crosses right here. Okay? As you see, they have different shapes. Alright? Different shapes and stuff, huh? Some like half circle, and all that. These are crosses. Okay? Alhamdulillah. Feel good. Tayyib. And the Shaykh, he said, SubhanAllah. He said, the Christians, if they really want, they shouldn't worship the cross. And now they hang it around their necks, and they have it all over, and worship it. He says, they should get rid of it. for the truth, they should get rid of it. Because it's not good. Because this is something that, as they claim, happened to their Lord or son of their Lord, as they claim, وَلَيَّادُ بِاللَّهِ. Why are they celebrating it? They should forget about it, he says. Something bad happened to you. He said, you don't want to talk about it to everybody. You wish that it never happened. And you will hide it. And anything that may make the people know about it and make fun of you because of it and talk about it, he said, you want to get rid of it, right or wrong? He says, what about them? He says, subhanAllah, that shows the hamaqa, the foolishness, when it comes to worshipping something like that. What to celebrate? Their so-called God was dragged in the streets for how many miles? Allahu A'lam. Or those who they say, he's only the son of God, also son of God. If you see your cat, kids in the street dragging your cat and kicking it, that make you happy? SubhanAllah. Tayyib. I just want to share with you the benefit. So in the second verse, as the Shaykh mentioned, because the fitna and the trial of Asnam are very dangerous and serious. Okay? مُنَاسَبَةُ الْآيَتَيْنِ لِلْبَابِ. Then the Shaykh mentioned the relevance or the reason behind the Shaykh choosing these two verses in this chapter. قَالْ أَنَّ الْآيَةَ الْأُولَى تَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ الشِّرْكَ أَعْظَمُ الدُّنُوبِ. Because he chose, the Shaykh, he didn't randomly just bring any ayah from the Quran. He chose to bring this verse as a proof in this chapter, to support this chapter. Because in the first ayah, Surah An-Nisa, is a clear proof that shirk is the greatest of all sins. It's the great sin. That's the great sin. Shirk. أعظم, the greatest of all sins. لأن من مات عليه لا يغفر له. And he gives us the reason why. He says, because if somebody die upon shirk, not making tawbah from it and repenting from it, this person will not be forgiven. والعياذ بالله. قال وهذا يوجب للعبد شدة الخوف من هذا الذنب الذي هذا شأنه. He says, this, what this means to us, and that's the benefits of these classes, by the way. He says, this, make it binding upon the servant, that he should be afraid, very, very afraid of this sin that is like this. Na'am, you're upon Tawheed, walhamdulillah, but you gotta be afraid of shirk. As long as you're in this dunya, you don't know what may happen to you next day. Don't think just because of you that you're upon Tawheed, you come into Masjid Tawheed, you study in Kitab Tawheed and Masjid Tawheed. Hey, you gotta be afraid of shirk and ask Allah firmness upon Tawheed. May Allah protect us. Amen. قال والآية الثانية تدل على أن إبراهيم خاف الشرك على نفسه ودعا الله أن يعافيه منه فما الظن بغيره. He says, as for the second ayah, الآية الثانية تدل is a proof على أن إبراهيم, that إبراهيم عليه السلام خاف الشرك, he was afraid of shirk, على نفسه, for himself. He is a prophet, a messenger from Ulul Azm, Khalil of Allah, and he was afraid of shirk for himself. And he invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him from such things. قال فما الظن بغيره. If this is the case of Ibrahim, what about other than him? Are we constantly asking Allah to protect us from shirk? We should. Dua, الدعاء هو العبادة. دعاء is worship. Allah says ادعوني استجيب لكم. Invoke me, I will answer your invocation. نعم الحمد لله you're upon توحيد الحمد لله, but then you should be afraid of shirk as well. نقتدي بهؤلاء, the prophets and the messengers and the righteous, they are our example, we follow their example. The Shaykh says, if this is the case for Ibrahim invoking Allah, he's afraid of shirk for himself that might befall him, and he's as he is, and as Allah mentioned who he is to us, who he is, says, what about other than him? And we say, what about us? We live in the land of shirk, surrounded by shirk. Don't you see it almost everywhere? You gotta be afraid of it and teach your children to be afraid of it and make this dua, رَبِّ جْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Memorize this ayah and make it all time. Make dua while you're traveling, whatever, in the morning, in the evening. Make this dua. Ask Allah to protect you and your offspring from falling into shirk and from worshipping idols. Because other people are worshipping it. Human being, not just monkeys. Human being. Alright? Human being are worshipping. And you're a human being. And you gotta be afraid of it. People are afraid of mouse and a roach, but they're not afraid of shirk. Subhanallah. You gotta be afraid of shirk. Why you be so afraid of shirk? Who remind us? Why? No.
Greatest of all sins.
And because of the greatest of all sins, now Abdul Rahim. If somebody die upon it, may Allah forgive us here. If now Abdul Rahim, I'm very you Abdul Rahim, not this guy. No.
Aina.
Ahsan. If somebody dies upon it, Allah won't forgive it. That's how great it is. When you know that Allah will forgive anything else, akhi. But shirk, so can't we should be afraid of this? Allah may forgive anything else. But this one, Allah doesn't forgive it. So we have to be, we need to learn. That's why, alhamdulillah, the ulama, ya akhwan, lahum fadlun alayna ba'da Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have a virtue upon us after the bounty of Allah, of course. And we have to respect them. That's why we love them and respect them, because they warn us against the things that may cause us destruction. So he invoke Allah to protect him from it. فَالْآيَتَانِ تَدُلَّانِ عَلَى وُجُوبِ الْخَوْفِ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ. And then the Shaykh, he concludes, Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, says, so the two ayahs, two verses, the verse of Surah An-Nisa and the verse of Surah Ibrahim, both of them are a clear proof that is obligatory to be afraid of shirk. It's not just a choice. You'll be afraid. You look like you should be afraid. Me, I'm straight. No, it's not like that. Alright? Gotta be afraid of shirk. ما يستفاد من الآيتين. What is some of the benefits that we can deduct from these two verses? We'll listen to you first, inshallah ta'ala, and then we'll read to you the 6 points of benefits. Alhamdulillah. Alright. As for the English translation, they have 11 of them. Now. أحسن وجوب الخوف من الشرك والتضرع إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى بالدعاء أن يجنب الشرك. The brother حفظه تعالى, he says, it is obligatory to be afraid of shirk and to continue to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from it. Now, Aina, Hassan.
That Allah can forgive anything else besides shirk, so that have don't lose hope in Allah's mercy.
Ahsant. وكذلك جزاك الله خيرا. Now, some points of benefits from the ayatain, from the two verses. Now, Sheikh.
Ibrahim Khalilullah himself was afraid of shirk.
Ahsant. وكذلك. Now. Ahsant. Make dua not only for yourself but also for your children. Naam. Amen. Ahsant. وكذلك. You want to repeat that? Go ahead, Abdurrahim.
Stay away from idols.
Ahsant. كذلك. Naam. Stay away from idols and the like, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from worshipping idols. Naam. Ready to write down what the Shaykh says? Now, number one, أن الشرك أعظم الذنوب. Shirk is the greatest of all sins. لأن الله تعالى أخبر أنه لا يغفره لمن لم يتوب منه. Because Allah has informed us that He does not forgive shirk for the one who did not repent from it. Once again, أن الشرك أعظم الذنوب. Shirk is the greatest of all sins. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that He does not forgive. He does not forgive it, meaning this shirk, from the one who did not repent from it. Number two, أن ما عدا الشرك من الذنوب إذا لم يتوب منه داخل تحت المشيئة إن شاء الله غفره بلا توبة وإن شاء عذب به ففي هذا دليل على خطورة الشرك. Anything else other than shirk from sins, if a person did not repent from them and meet Allah with those sins that are not shirk, they are less than shirk, he's under the will of Allah, the Mashiach of Allah. Meaning, if Allah wished to forgive him, even that person didn't make tawbah from those sins, Allah will forgive such a person. But if Allah wished to punish that person, he will be punished. These are for sins that are less than shirk. Okay? The Shaykh says, and this is a clear proof and shows how dangerous shirk is. Because it's not forgiven. And anything else than the shirk is forgiven, is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wished to forgive the person, he will forgive him. But if Allah wished to punish the person, he punish him, but as the ulama they mentioned, but he will end up in the Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala. Number three, الخوف من الشركي. Fear of shirk, polytheism. فَإِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ وَهُوَ إِمَامُ الْحُنَفَاءِ said, because, still in the third point of benefit, because Ibrahim, and he is the Imam, Ibrahim عليه السلام, he is the Imam of the Hunafa. وَالَّذِي كَسَّرَ الْأَصْنَامَ بِيَدِهِ and he is the one who destroyed the idol with his own hand. الله أكبر. خَافَهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ he was afraid of shirk for himself to befall in it. فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْ دُونَهُ if this is the case of Ibrahim, what about those who are less than him in degree? Number four, مشروعية الدعاء لدفع البلاء. مشروعية الدعاء لدفع البلاء وأنه لا غنى للإنسان عن ربه. Also here, it is legislated for us to make dua, to repel trials and temptations and anything that may cause us harm and destruction. It is legislated for us to make dua and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us and keep those things away from us. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam make a dua. And also that a person can never, never be sufficient by himself. And that a slave can never say, I got it, like some people. They're always in need of Allah's mercy, Allah's help, assistance. Alhamdulillah. Number five, مشروعية دعاء الإنسان لنفسه ولذريته. That is legislated for us to make dua for ourselves and for our families, our offspring. Not just, oh Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me and my offspring. Oh Allah protect me from shirk and my offspring. So when you make your dua, you include your family. And also when you include the others, the Muslims, that's good. Number six, and that's the last point. الرد على الجهال الذين يقولون لا يقع الشرك في هذه الأمة فأمنوا منه فوقعوا فيه. الرد, this is a refutation against the ignorance. Some ignorant, they say, shirk can't happen in this ummah. So, mashallah, we have Quran, we have the sunnah. Hey, not gonna happen, shirk. Huh? Since now they have this idea and this way of thinking, which is wrong, and they feel secure from shirk, that's how they fall into it. That's how they fall into it. If somebody feel secure from shirk. Shirk, come on, we Muslims, man. Alhamdulillah, Muslims. We've been studying Tawheed, mashallah, alhamdulillah, we live. And they feel secure, and therefore, if somebody feels secure, they don't make dua. They're not afraid. Who's taking precautions and keeping his both eyes open? The one who's afraid of something, right or wrong? Can somebody afraid of something go to sleep? Al-Khaif, hal yanam? The one who's afraid of something, does he go to sleep? Why he don't go to sleep? Huh? He worried. Huh? He's afraid that something may happen. He's afraid. Are you going to go to sleep? Who go to sleep? Usually, who go to sleep? Someone who's relaxed, man. Nothing on his mind. If something on your mind, then do you go to sleep? No. It's always in your mind. You keep you thinking about it and it keep you up, keep you awake. Well, this shirk should keep us awake, man. Can't sleep on this one. Can't just say, Alhamdulillah, we're okay. And forget about it. No, we're okay, Alhamdulillah. This is a ni'mah from Allah that Allah guide us to the Tawheed and we're upon the Tawheed. But we have to be afraid of shirk. And be afraid of shirk for us and also for ourselves and for our children, especially those families, Muslims, who they may send their children to public schools. Who's teaching them in there? Or they live in compound. Maybe they can't afford to live by themselves. They live in this, you know, complex. And then the majority are upon shirk and Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus this, Jesus that, idols everywhere, people have a cross of Jesus on their necks, on their cheeks, on whatever, man has tattoos, al-iyadu billah, everywhere. And children go play out there with this, man. Nobody remind them of Allah. I was reading a book last night, and the author was warning, was giving advices to the believing women in Saudi. And as in Saudi, a lot of families, they bring, if you may not know this, and this is reality, this is truth, they bring a lot of ladies, women from other countries, to work in the house. What do you call them? Maids?
Yeah.
Maids. Huh? SubhanAllah. And the Shaykh, he was like refuting this, and he was bringing the statement of Shaykh bin Baz and Shaykh bin Uthaymeen and Dir Fatawa rahimahumullah on the dangers of this. First of all, and he was saying that a woman wants to go to work. She said, she told her husband, sit down, I gotta talk to you. Okay. She's like, that's it, man. I'm tired of cooking for you. I'm tired of doing all of these things. I got a degree, man. I gotta go to work, make some money. Okay, well, how are you gonna do this? We have children, we have this. Oh, how are we gonna do it? Ask the neighbors. They have two maids, not just one. I'm asking only for one. See? Now he's like, okay, I get you the maid. The maid come from Philippines. Non-Muslims. Or even if they're Muslim, they may have some Sufis, Tijanis. Be that. Have no clue what Sunnah is. Now the maid come. Booty, the Shaykh says, booty. And then she lives with them. Now look, there is so many dangers in that. Now she lives in the house. She go around the husband. And the Shaykh, he says that the lady, the wife, she said, hey, don't bring us no old lady, bring young one, meaning strong. Bring young one, that's danger for her husband. She should bring one with no teeth, nothing. Barely walk. Right or wrong? Man, she's like, make sure bring a young one. Fitna. She's bringing a fitna to her house. And what happened? And she go to work, this lady, the wife. And she leave who? The maid with her children and with her husband. And it's normal, like, oh, they sit together, eat together, talk together. Ayyad billah. Fitan. But why I'm bringing this? Because of the shirk. Huh? That's the example. We're still in Kitab al-Tawheed. Huh? And this chapter of fearing the shirk. The Shaykh, he says, and sometimes those maids are brought from countries that are not, and they don't have some Muslims, and Allah are mushrikun. And that maid, she worship Buddha, wal-iyadu billah. So now she teaches those children shirk. The woman is not there, the mother is not there. She went to work. But then that lady, she's there and she's worshipping her Buddha. She brought with her, maybe from her country, little statue idol. And she put it there and like, oh, this. And the children, they're like, what are you doing? Sit down, get down. Because they listen to her, they're little. Do what I'm doing. And the Shaykh said, it's very dangerous. Why? Because the children, especially after years, they respect the maid more than they respect the mother. And they are attached to the maid more than they are attached to the mother. Because who feed them? The maid. Who wash them all? The maid. Who play with them? The maid. Who go with them and come? When they wake up, sometimes their mother is gone. Who they see? The maid. The Shaykh said, even, subhanAllah, he said, some Arab kids, akhi, they don't speak Arabic properly in the Arab country. Why? Because who's teaching them? Who's talking to them? The maid. The maid, that her language is not Arabic. She just came and she has to learn Arabic. And imshi. Easy. Inta huwa hiya yimshi. It's like broken Arabic. SubhanAllah. It's like somebody who just came from another country, whatever it is, and don't come to America, have no clue what English is, right? He's fluent in his language. Have you even tried to have a conversation with someone like that? Just came to America in first couple of days, couple of weeks, and he wanted to ask you something. Huh? Yeah, they want to talk, but then they're like, excuse me, me, train, train, me train. Okay. That's it. He's out. He can't talk. Like that. Kids are learning the Arabic that way. Because the mother is not there to talk to them. أسأل الله السلامة والعافية. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.